We're here in the Congressional Corner with Massachusetts 1st District Congressional candidate Thomas Simmons, who's a Libertarian. And by the way, there is no Republican candidate, so Thomas Simmons is it. Thomas, are you finding you're attracting any Republican voters to your cause?
I am. As a matter of fact, my campaign is actually geared towards winning two or three different sets of voters. One, because there is no Republican in the race, is to try and hold the Republican base, who have no other candidate to vote for. But at the other end of the spectrum, I'm very much tapping into the Sanders Democrats, the Green Party, and disaffected independents, who also see Richie Neal as maybe too conservative on some issues as well. So I'll give you a great example of a campaign day yesterday, or 2 days ago, excuse me. I spent a few hours with the College Republicans of Western Massachusetts, meeting them.
Was it a large room or a small room that you were in?
There were about 50 students there.
That was my little joke, but go ahead.
Yeah, I know it was. Of course, that was all of Western Massachusetts. I spent some time with them, speaking with them, introducing myself to them, talking about my candidacy and my issues. And then I immediately left there and went to a gay bar in Springfield, where I'm organizing a meet and greet for the GLBT community. So I've been running this.
Why don't you bring them all together, those Republicans you met with in a little room and the people in the bar?
Well, I hope to bring people together, let me tell you. But that's been my campaign approach, is to try and bring these disparate groups together to create a winning coalition.
Mm-hmm. But winning coalitions have to be based on philosophy and based on your, what I would consider, ultra-liberal feelings about some of the subjects I feel the same way about. You know, those guys in the College Republicans might not be with you.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Certainly in speaking to some older Republicans, that is absolutely the case. I've spent the last two decades of my life working with college students at Greenfield Community College. And what I find is that even those who are Republican and tend to take a more conservative approach on fiscal issues and some other traditional Republican issues, they're actually very liberal and socially tolerant on the social issues. So with the new generation, there's change in the wind.
You're right about that. Let me go through a couple of subjects with you, specific subjects. You tell me, you know, in a couple of sentences what you're feeling
sure.
about that. Common Core in education.
I have a real problem with Common Core. I've been watching what No Child Left Behind and what Common Core have been doing to education, again, for the last two decades. And basically, it's turned school systems around from, instead of teaching critical thinking, to how do you answer the test? How do you answer a multiple choice test? Is the answer A, B, C, or D? So that rather than having students write essays or engage in critical thinking where they're bringing together the arts and history and political science and the hard sciences, they just want to know what is the answer. And they come to college and they still have this idea of, well, what's the answer? Tell me the answer. And it's very hard for them to get into the place of realizing that most questions are complicated, and they don't have very simple answers. The other problem with Common Core, and this is probably a longer answer than you wanted, is that with the standardized testing that has accompanied it, it means that schools are, rather than seeing the students as their primary customer, so to speak, their new customer is the federal government and the state government, because they need to prove that certain benchmarks have been met. And so resources are now diverted from teaching and into report writing and data collection to prove that they've met these benchmarks. So
We have to have some benchmarks to see if a district is doing okay?
I think we do, but when you have an unending standardized testing for students, and they're based on multiple choice and not critical thinking, and when all we're doing is spending our money writing reports to say, see, we met the criteria, that's not education.
But isn't critical thinking so subjective? You know, I'm a social studies teacher, I got to mark these exams, or an economics teacher, I got to mark these exams. I want my students to do well because I want to look good, as opposed to specific multiple choice questions?
Yes. Yes, it is subjective. except when, as a teacher, when I'm grading an economics essay and I'm asking about the unemployment rate, I am less concerned that a student knows the unemployment rate is currently 5.5% than I am with the student understanding the impact of the sociological impact of people dropping out of the labor force because they haven't been able to get a job, or the economic impact and the social impact of people working two or three or four jobs to make the same amount of money they used to make. Even though they're no longer unemployed, they have less disposable income. I'm more interested in them knowing that the unemployment rate has a spillover into things like alcoholism and domestic abuse and other issues. As long as they can identify the issues and connect the dots, I'm good with that.
But how much do you trust those teachers, those high school teachers, to mark this thing in a fair way?
I thoroughly trust the teaching professionals to be able to look at an essay and see, has a student been able to bring in the important issues and tie them together and begin to create an argument.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about healthcare. We have about 3 minutes to do that in. There's obviously Obamacare out there. I'm a huge fan of, I should tell you, of a government-sponsored program that has less complications than Obamacare. Where are you?
If I've got 2.5 minutes to do this, I would say there are aspects of Obamacare that I like, including the fact that your children can stay on longer and that pre-existing conditions cannot be excluded. I would like to see additional changes, though. I'd like to see competition with drugs that come in from Canada. I vacation in Montreal every year, and I can assure Americans that Canadians are not falling dead all over the street from bad aspirin. I want to see more competition in the industry, and I'd like to see the IRS code changed so that nonprofit insurance companies can be set up in every state. Right now, they're actually illegal under the IRS code. And just like we have nonprofit financial institutions like credit unions, I'd like to see nonprofit insurance institutions to be able to address some of the remaining needs.
So if somebody says to you at one of your meetings, are you for or against Obamacare, you would say?
Yes.
Yes. I can see you have been a very good professor. I got it. Talk to me for the next minute or so about foreign policy. Are we overextended? Do we have troops where we shouldn't have them?
We are absolutely overextended, and we have troops all over the place where they don't belong. Libya was a disaster. I think that we should not be in Syria. We have allowed Saudi Arabia to be the tail that has wagged the dog for far too long.
And do you think Americans should be allowed to sue Saudi Arabia?
You know, on that one, which is, and I understand the emotion behind it because I'm from a New York City family and I have 3 generations of fire chiefs in my family. So 911 impacted me very, very much so. I don't believe in ex post facto laws. And I think it's more, honestly, I think it's more of an emotional charade than anything that realistic that's going to be able to come out of that.
And who would you like to see, if I gave you a choice, of who you would appoint as Secretary of State if you were the President of the United States? That'll tell us a little about you. Who would that be?
Well, I don't know because, let's see, I'm running for Congress this year. I figure President's 2 years down the road for me. so I haven't given much thought to that. I'd want to see someone who is interested in diplomacy as opposed to saber rattling.
So that sounds more like Obama, no?
I'm not sure that Obama's been all that involved in pure diplomacy in the Middle East. He certainly wasn't in Libya. Personally, I'd be willing to appoint Russ Feingold to about any office he wanted.
Okay. We have been talking to Massachusetts 1st District Congressional candidate Thomas Simmons, who's a libertarian. He's running against Representative Richie Neal, the dean of the Massachusetts delegation. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.